Hello, this is Daniela Dani Tajimaroa, and I'm here with Anna.
Hi.
Over at the Sudanese Community Center. And it's May 21st, 10:39 p.m. on a Monday morning. So we're going to go ahead and start with our interview for the history class. Anna, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Anna Obura. And I'm a student from Cal State San Marcos, and I'm also studying biological sciences. And I work at the center as a parent engagement specialist, and also I coordinate the tutoring for newcomers. Yeah.
How do you like studying at San Marcos so far?
I love it. It's a small school, and you get like a one-on-one with the teachers. Right. Yeah, it's really awesome. Nice. And it's a growing school, so you know, there's a lot to learn.
Mm-hmm. What do you, or what made you decide to study biological sciences?
Basically, my family pushed me towards that major. Looking at my grades in high school, and plus I would like to help people in general, and you know, increase hope for kids in Africa. So I always had this idea of, you know, starting a hospital in my hometown, though I wasn't born there. I just wanted to, like, you know, because for them to go to like a hospital, it's, you know, like they have to walk for days to get to like the nearest hospital. So, you know, being able to be, you know, a doctor, and, you know, being here in America, I have the opportunities to, you know, become a doctor and start a hospital in Uganda.
Wow. Yeah, I saw your face light up when you're describing like how you could provide that for your community back home. So going off of that, where is home for you? Who are the people, places that you consider home?
So I am Ugandan, and I grew up in a refugee camp in Kenya. My people, I just consider all of Africans to be my people, but you know, I'm also a citizen of the world, so. Everybody's my person, so, yeah.
Cosmopolitan. I know we were talking about family earlier. Would it be okay to ask what your family looks like?
So I'm here alone in San Diego, but I have my sister who used to live here with me, she lives in Syracuse now, New York. And I am having my mom come to the U.S. For the first time. And it's going to be the first time I see her in 16 years, which is awesome. Basically, we're just scattered, you know. We're just a scattered family. But eventually, you know, we will be together one day.
How do you think it will be seeing your mom after 16 years in the
week? It'll be so great. I mean, it'll be so emotional, but I'm trying to like stay strong, look like I'm, you know, I'm really, really strong.
Okay. It's okay to speak up a little bit because of the water. You said about your family being a little bit scattered. How do you think working here, or maybe it doesn't, has created like maybe another home away from home or a sense of community? Or what does working here mean to you?
So working at the center, it has been like a great thing for me. Like I've grown so much in like throughout the semester. I mean, if you met me before I started working at the center, you'd be like, you know, like, I really grew as a person, you know. And you know, like, we have bad decisions as students, in college, you know, with all of the freedom. But working at the center, I just learned to put my priorities first. And, you know, like, do things that are gonna make me grow, you know. So, and I found, you know, family here. Since I grew up next to East Africans, you know, like finding, you know, your East African people in one area, you know, it's just awesome. Mm-hmm. You can relate to them better, you know.
What are some of those priorities that you think you have?
Like, you know, going to the doctor's appointment. That's something that I wouldn't do. I wouldn't have done like a year ago. Like, you know, doing my homework on time. You know, helping people. You know, going to people's houses, and you know, bugging them about school. You know, helping the parents learn about the American school system. You know, just doing things out of your way, not for you, but, you know, for the community, you know, and setting a good example for, you know, the young ones. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you think that some of the youth here look up to you?
I hope so, yeah. I just started working here. I started last September, and I hope that as we, you know, grow as a, you know, as an organization, as a center, we, like, I get to influence other kids' lives, you know.
Yep. So, September of last year, not like the September before that, is when you started.
Yeah, last year.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, I mean, going off of that, I guess we can start with like the first question related to that. What would a typical day like working or volunteering here at the center look like?
Well, a typical day of working here would, for me, I usually start at noon, where I come in, and since I work with newcomers from Africa who are still trying to learn English and catch up to their grade levels, I usually come and I get their worksheets ready, and then I come and set up for the tutoring program, and then go pick them up from their houses once they're done with school and drop them off, and also welcome the tutors for the day, and basically have the kids sit down, meet the tutors, and give out their worksheets, and they work through it with the tutors. And sometimes when we don't have tutors, I have to jump in and try to tutor, which is something they don't like, but what can we do?
Overall, would you say they like working with the tutors?
They like working with the tutors because, like, since I am from Africa, they still have the mentality of, oh, I don't think you're good at English, like, you know, like a person who was born here, who has been, you know, speaking English for most of their lives, you know. So, yeah, and then have them have snacks around 5:45, because the tutoring program lasts for 2 hours from 4 to 6. So at 5:45 they have their snacks, and then at 6 I drop them off to their houses, and then that's it.
On average, how many kids would you say there are?
To start with, we had a lot of kids. I think we had like 24 kids, but then the number went down as we lost tutors because of the transition of the, is it the quota system?
Yeah,
at UCSD?
Yeah, semester ends early and then quarters still going, so finals.
Yeah, so when the quarter, you guys were switching the quarter, mm-hmm. so we lost a lot of tutors, mm-hmm. and it was left to me and the other coordinator to be able to help the kids with their homework and also work do the worksheets with them. But yeah.
Sounds kind of stressful.
It is sometimes. Yeah, but it's really, really nice working with kids, you know.
Mm-hmm. And do they all live relatively close by?
They do. The reason why I picked them up is because they their parents don't trust the older kids walking to the center and walking back because they don't want them to have the tendency of, like, you know, meeting a boy and, you know, having boyfriends. So that's the reason why I picked them up. And there are little kids also that shouldn't be walking on the streets. And then the program ends at 6 o'clock. So it's just best that I drop them off and pick them up.
I'm sure your parents appreciate.
Yeah, and they deserve the luxury of being in a car to and from.
Right.
Yeah.
How do you get along with the other staff?
I've not had any conflict with any of the staffs. We usually just get along most of the times. We support each other, you know. Because we have different programs going on. It's me and my other coworker Mimi who do the tutoring with the newcomers, and then the other staff just work with the other kids, and, like, we help out each other. If there is low staff on one side, mm-hmm. the other people come and help out. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's been great.
Cool. Sounds like you're pretty flexible then.
Yes.
There's a lot going on at the time.
Yeah.
So yeah, you can answer this one however you'd like. But what does having a center and programs like these mean for you and or the youth and people who make use of the community center?
So when I was, you know, growing up in City Heights, and I went to Crawford High School.
Oh, you went to Crawford, okay.
Yeah, so we really didn't have, like, a center to go to do our homework. Mm-hmm. It's either we finished our homework at school or, you know, home. And personally, not having any parents here, nobody was there to help me with my homework other than, you know, just knowing the material from school and you know, just working through it with the teachers. Mm-hmm. So having the center here, you know, like, it helps out the little kids, you know where to do their homework, where they can interact with other kids, you know, do different activities, and we've had kids go. We've taken kids to different universities for, like, tours, and they loved my school, mm-hmm. And you know, it's just a great place to broaden the parents' education about, you know, the United States, because I don't think they know the importance of school on their kids. So I'm planning on, you know, doing a workshop where we're going to educate the parents on the American school system, the fact that you need some sort of education to live here, and the fact that you're not going to be on, you know, government fundings for the rest of your life. To see how their kids are going to grow into, you know, great people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think the center will be a huge part of that success, hopefully, for them.
Yeah.
How is it working with parents, usually?
Oh, it's tricky. because some of the parents are going to, they usually go to the adult education to learn English, and that way they get their benefits from attending class, even though they're not learning anything. They just get, you know, their benefits from that, like paying rent and paying different things, like the electric bill. And having them to come to the center to support their kids, or, you know, like last time we had the youth group,
the workshop.
Mm-hmm. We had the last one where we were giving out certificates and, you know, different things, and we asked for the parents to come, and no parent came.
Really, not a single one.
No parent came. We just had the kids come, and, you know, and they got their certificates and took them home. But no parent came because they had to go to the adult education so they could be able to, you know, to have their benefits.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So not to say they didn't want to be there.
Yeah.
Their kids.
Yeah. And if we have any workshop to help them with their health and educate them on, you know, different things in the world, like domestic violence, you know, how to take care of yourself as a, you know, as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
They usually don't come.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the little percentage that comes, you know, they leave real fast. Mm-hmm. So
what do you think that is?
It's because of the adult education and their benefits that they really don't want to lose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they have this.
They don't line up.
Yeah, even though, you know, like, because they have this mentality of, you know, the government is going to help me,
mm-hmm.
you know, throughout my life, you know, and that is something that was put into their minds when they were coming here, the orientation. In Africa, when they were coming here, they were told they were going to be given everything,
mm-hmm.
and basically they, you know, and when they came, you know, they just put their kids in school,
mm-hmm.
without checking any of their grades, you know, and that is really, really bad, because in America, the teachers would like for you to come in. Actually bug them about your kids' education. So yeah, they usually don't even go to their kids' appointments in school, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything has to be proactive here.
Mm-hmm.
I had a question. I forgot it. I think you were mentioning about learning or having the parents learn about the American education system.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think are the main differences between the education system in Africa and the U.S.? I know you didn't go to school there, but...
Yeah. So the education system in Africa varies depending on the country. So most of the kids that I'm working with are from Tanzania,
mm-hmm.
and Tanzania has been a country that has put aside English. English has not been the main language, so all the schools were taught in Swahili,
mm-hmm.
and for them, being from like poor backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
Education has not been, you know, like they have not had a strong foundation,
mm-hmm.
you know, in English or in school. But for Uganda, the only difference between the school system here and Uganda is that here they do multiple choice And in Uganda, everything is free response. Uh-huh. Yeah, so it's either you know what you're talking about or you don't. And we basically learn everything, like let's say math, we learn everything, like algebra, geometry, everything put together from first grade to eighth grade. But then every year, you're being added something new, and you get to practice what you did last year. And that's, that's how the Ugandan school system works.
Instead of just having like geometry 1 year and then algebra the next year.
Yeah. So like at eighth grade, we already mastered, you know, the art of math.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just gotta keep practicing it.
Yeah.
Okay. So back in September, maybe before, when did you start getting involved with the center? Either if you started using it before you started working here?
I actually didn't know much about the center. Mm-hmm. I was just called one day by Awichu.
Oh, okay.
And I was just resting at home, and he was like, come to the center. And I'm like, to do what? but I came anyways. And then he's like, just go and sit there with Agazi. And I'm like, okay. So I go meet Agazi. And then I did not know that was an interview. So, yeah, he played me, but nicely.
Right.
Yeah. So I just sat there, and then he's like, oh, yeah, it's an interview. So you're applying for two jobs, actually. And I was like, okay. I don't have a job, but I'll take this. And as time went by, I learned more about the center. Mm-hmm. And as... you know, as a Ugandan, I just felt as if we were underrepresented as Ugandans or as Swahili speakers. Mm-hmm. So it's really nice to have, you know, Swahili speakers come to the center more.
Mm-hmm.
And not just thinking of, you know, oh, the center belongs to these kind of people,
mm-hmm.
you know, and just having it, you know, as an East African center and bringing East Africans, you know, as one people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So before that, out and about in City Heights, would you say you wouldn't really find too many either Ugandans or Swahili speakers in general?
Yes, there are a lot of them. I found a lot of, you know, East Africans. But then at the center itself, you know, we were not there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, but, you know, I'm here now, so I'm gonna work on, you know, having more Ugandans or Swahili speakers come
mm-hmm.
to the center, and, you know, having events for the East Africans,
yeah.
you know, as a whole.
Presence is important.
Yes.
So I guess I answered the why. I got involved.
Yeah.
Being ambushed with an interview to work here. yeah, I know you were saying you don't have necessarily like a favorite memory of the space,
mm-hmm.
but maybe what are things that you look forward to when you come to work, even if it doesn't seem like it sometimes or on certain days where it's a little harder?
I just would like for the center to, you know, to have a lot of kids come, you know. So, you know, so they could come and get help. Because for me, in college, I have to work twice as hard as everybody to understand what the teacher is saying, or, you know, to work on a paper, or, you know, just college in general.
Mm-hmm.
So for them to be here and for us to mentor them and see them, you know, blossom and to, you know, like great students, kids that put school first before anything. Because
mm-hmm.
I heard, you know, this kid, one of the kids that I tutor, speaking about, oh, I feel so dumb, you know, I might as well consider marriage. I'm like, no, you're just 15, you know. So I just want them to know that, you know, like, the center is a safe space for them. They can come and be themselves and have friends, and they can come and create events for themselves, and we can just walk them through it, you know. Yeah.
How do you navigate seeing so much like potential and brilliance in them when sometimes I would say like the way the education system is set up makes them feel otherwise?
I don't know. It's really hard because their parents are not also supporting them. So it's really hard on them. And when I jump in to help, you know, some parents are just like, oh, are you telling me how to bring up my kid? And I'm like, no, just, you know, the education system here is different than back home. And you need to know, you need to understand English. You need to know the academic, the difference between academic English and street English. I don't know. It's difficult. Yeah, but hopefully as we grow as an organization, we get to figure out different things, different ways of helping them.
I know I resonated when you said you have to work kind of like twice as hard to just get like the information or like write essays and stuff. What are some things that have helped you along the way in order to feel successful in college? Or people that have helped you, or both?
I go to class super early than everybody, and then I tend to bug the professor to find out what exactly they want on a paper, or, you know, like before a test, I go and like bug them and be like, so, you know, what's gonna be in the test? You know, having different mentors in life, you know, people who have already made it in life, asking them different questions of, you know, what should I do in college? And also reading books, different books have helped, and prayers.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm big on religion.
How has religion played a role in your work here, or interactions with the rest of the community?
We are like of different religions here. So, I mean, with one of my coworkers, we always talk about religion. And, you know, just knowing that, you know, you can, I mean, I just pray every morning. And I pray every night, and I hope my day goes well, and my day does go well. They always do, so, you know, religion has played a really big part.
Okay, let me see if I can hear it real quick. I think it's recording now. Okay, go ahead and speak.
Hello.
I think it's recording again. Cool. Yeah. So we were talking about religion, and you and your coworker that talk about religion a lot.
Yeah.
And praying. I'm glad to hear that your days go well.
Yes, they do.
I guess we talked a little bit already about the people and systems that help support you. Sorry, going about this one. So what keeps you going slash motivates you?
So my background. I went through a lot. And having gone through that, I just wake up every morning and I always have like a target of being better, a better me every day, so that I couldn't put my kids in the same position or not have anybody else go through the same thing. And I wouldn't want to repeat, you know, not being able to, you know, eat or not being able to have money. So that pushes me all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Basically my background, yeah.
You said going through a lot. Is that during your time in Kenya, in the refugee camp?
I mean, my whole life growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because I lost my dad at one, and my mom didn't have, you know, like, enough money to take care of six kids. So me and my sister went to the refugee camp, and that's where we grew up since I was eight. And then we ended up here. And, you know, I don't know, I work every day to see that we have a better life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can sense there's a lot of emotion and I really feel connected to you, like you sharing this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's not just for you, I can tell you. What do you think it must have been like for your mom?
Hard. I'm sorry.
No? You have nothing to apologize for.
Hard. Yeah, but we're good now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What are some of the things that are coming up for you?
Huh?
What are some of the things that are coming up for you?
What do you mean?
Like, what are you feeling?
I don't know. The fact that I'm gonna see her tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Let me put myself together first.
No, you're okay. How do you think she's gonna feel to hear all about the past 16 years? And how much you've accomplished too, by the way.
Yeah, she's gonna be crying a lot, but
I'm just getting you ready.
She'll be proud of me.
Okay.
Yeah.
She has a lot to be proud of.
Mm-hmm.
Sharing with your other siblings as well.
Yeah, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good.
hearing about like how much you've been through to get to like where you are today, I guess, do you think people don't realize a lot of the things people do just to get to like where they are, like work and go to school and provide for their kids.
Yeah, I believe people take advantage of the opportunities they have in the U.S. because I never thought I was even going to go to a four-year university. Mm-hmm. And being there, this is my fifth year and I finished it, so I have one more semester. Mm-hmm. And seriously, I don't want to leave college because, you know, it's a great opportunity that I never knew that I was, you know, I was even going to make it.
Right.
So it's just great, mm-hmm. you know, having this great opportunity to go to school and learn
mm-hmm.
and be somebody in the future.
And like you said, or alluded to, it's not, you're not just doing it for yourself, but mm-hmm. you said, like, not only for the kids who hopefully can, you know, realize that college is an option, or education, and, you know, your future family as well.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, like, makes you work to provide for others, not just yourself?
Because, you know, with the difficulties, we always had a person who came and, like, helped us emotionally or financially. So if I'm to be that person to other people, mm-hmm. that would be great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I have someone to say that they're proud of.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I like that was one of the first things you said mm-hmm. about what your mom was going to say.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people don't always have that person to say that to them.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is next for you after your semester?
Finishing? I don't know. I'm taking a break first.
Okay.
Yeah. Have to take a break, and then depending on how my grades work out and basically different events as I'm taking the break, probably go to med school or apply to med school, or, you know,
mm-hmm.
go back home and try to, you know, educate people on the little things that I've learned here, health-wise, and also, you know, like how to build up a small business so the women could be self-sustained rather than, you know, depending on their husbands all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And also preaching that the fact that education is, you know, very important.
Mm-hmm. You think that'll be well received back home?
It will be, and also take books for people to read back home, because I don't think I read any book when I was younger.
Mm.
So to have, you know, like different books for kids to read and better their, you know, their language, mm-hmm. their English language, that would be awesome.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have your eyes on any med schools, or?
I'm just thinking of some school in the Caribbean.
Okay.
Yeah, any school in the Caribbean.
Nice.
Yeah, but I have a cousin in Iceland, and she's trying to get me to go to Iceland for medical school.
Okay.
So we'll see about that.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I wonder if you have pretty good medical schools there.
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
She mentioned that they were really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you like traveling?
I do, but, you know, as a student, you really can't do much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have another question. So you said you've been in City Heights since you were 8?
No, since I was 14.
Since you were 14?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts about, like, City Heights and the community and the people here?
We do work together, City Heights, because I've gone to, like, different meetings
mm-hmm.
for refugee meetings and also immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
And you see how people you know, people of different backgrounds, people of different, you know, colors mm-hmm. work together. And, you know, it's awesome just to see, you know, a greater City Heights, mm-hmm. you know, to see that our kids are taken care of in school. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, our voices being heard. So, okay. Yeah.
Do you feel like it's been getting better then since you came?
Yeah, it's really getting better because there are a lot of people who want City Heights to be a better place for their kids and, you know, for everybody else. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. That's cool. And then kind of on the other end, what are like some of the issues or things that you wish you could see be done?
Basically, well, I've not thought of it yet.
Mm-hmm. That's fine too.
Yeah. Just having like bigger events where every community, all the communities are brought together. Mm-hmm. And despite of our differences, you know, just, I don't know, just having a great moment of, you know, sharing ideas mm-hmm. That, you know, another community could use. Mm-hmm. And being able to just, you know, just come together and do different things mm-hmm. for the community.
That's cool. I like that you say that because I think that's also like part of what our class is doing, at least with each other and like our families and communities. When it seems like sometimes we're only ever like working in silos or like behind closed doors, when in reality like there's a lot of the same issues we're facing.
Right.
To come together to get more for the people we love and care about.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I don't think you thought the interview was gonna go like this. Is there anything else that I haven't asked you about that you want to share or say?
Not really. Yeah, I'm just glad to be working with the center, you know. You know, to see that the kids, the opportunities that I didn't get in high school, the kids are getting them. And I just hope that they, you know, take advantage of the different things you're trying to do for them. And also the parents to learn that education is the key to success. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I believe that what put them out of their homes mm-hmm. in Africa was war. It was tied to politics, and you know, their kids being educated, they can go and change a lot about, you know, where their parents come from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'm sure they're equally as glad to have someone like you in the space, and
thank you.
Hopefully it only goes up from what they have to mm-hmm. what their children will have, your children.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you.